Hi there, and welcome back to the second interview in my series of podcasts where we discover some of the stories, trials, and tribulations of folk that I've worked with as they've gone through transition. In this episode, I'm delighted to introduce Dr. Mushumi Bhatt, who I had the pleasure of working with several years ago, and her story is absolutely fabulous, and I'm sure you'll listen through over the next 25, 30 minutes. At the end of the recording, I'm going to do a little piece on what I took from the conversation and see if that evokes any thoughts from you, the listener. But sit back and enjoy the fabulous, fabulous journey that Musami shares with us in this podcast. So, Masami, hi. I'm really excited that we've got together and you're able to take part in this conversation on transitions, the journey you're going to share with us. How are you?
Thanks, Tim. Good to see you again. We meet on and off on this transition journey, so I'm excited to talk about it.
And it's been a while. That we've been able to share these experiences. But just for the sake of those folk that are listening in, could you just tell me about yourself and where you are today and what we're doing? Because it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so let's see. My journey, professional slash purpose driven personal, which is how I would define my life 2.0, has seen two big pivots. And you were very instrumental on my first pivot, and now I'm on my second pivot, which I believe should be my life 2.0. But I did a life 1.0, which was my professional life for 35 years, where I was in corporate, working on semiconductors, doing the whole private sector professional life, if you will. And then my first pivot was right after I started working with you, coaching with you, which was, soon after a Stanford Executive Business Program, where I did my first pivot, I should say. And now I'm on my, which was again to get closer to my purpose. And now I'm on my second pivot, where I believe I'm even closer to my purpose. In fact, I want to declare that I'm on my purpose journey. So yeah, that's kind of where I am.
Fabulous. And that, I love that life 1.0, 2.0, how that's and it'll be interesting if we have this conversation in 10, 15 years' time, what 3.0, 4.0 might be.
Well, I'm hoping we don't have to go on to 3.0 and 4.0. That I'm hoping that if we are having this conversation in 15 years from now, I'd be looking able to look back and say, I am glad I made that last pivot. Because if I hadn't been intentional about making that last pivot, maybe I would still be in 1.5, 1.75, whatever. But these transitions in life are important, and I speak through experience, as I feel like it is important to go through it with intentionality and be comfortable when you get there. So my goal is to make sure that my purpose is one with my persona and how I live my life every day. Whether I call it my personal life or my professional life, I mean, my purpose needs to be in and around me, and I sort of feel like I'm there. So 15 years from now, when I look back, I want to be able to say, I'm glad I made that pivot, and I'm glad I stayed course.
Fabulous. So, with that in mind, and you use the term intentional. When we met, if you cast our mind back, you were had taken the decision already to do a Stanford retreat program, and that's how we met. What was going on for you at that time?
Oh my God, that is such an important question. In the context of the journey that we're talking about, so basically what happened is I'd graduated from school, gone into the workforce, stayed in the workforce, done the corporate wheel, climbed the ladder, the corporate ladder, done all of that, gone through all of those emotions. And if I had not taken that, not had the opportunity to go to the Stanford executive business program, I don't think I would have landed where I did, right? So just that act of taking myself out from what feels like that comfortable life and giving myself that 6 weeks to have kind of an immersion in a place that is different from my profession, my regular profession, was such an important first step. And that kind of got the wheels into motion, right? And then I was glad that we met and you coached me for the next year. So I didn't lose the momentum when I went back into the workforce. So it helped me. That's when my eyes opened and the door opened for me to say, hey, look, there is another world. So that was a rather pivotal moment. And the learning from that whole process is, hey, if we keep doing what we are doing, we're going to get the same results. That's also the definition of insanity. I don't want to call our professional lives as insanity, but I do want to say that sometimes giving yourself a chance to remove yourself from your comfort space, and that quiet time and that time to think, if I can say, it's so important to be able to give you perspective on what could be, what should be, and to not pass up on that opportunity. So that was my first learning.
Yeah, thank you. You're being quite humble because when I first met you, what if I can share, there is an incredibly successful person there that had done so much within their personal career, personal life, fabulous husband, two fabulous children. I've never met them, but we spoke sometimes about them and their successes from academia, if you like, at the time. So there've been some real successes there, but there is a need somewhere in there to bravely remove yourself from that, what you've described as comfort, and going to Stanford and having this 6 week period. What was that?
Yeah, I want to say that I do not want to take credit for being able to explore that opportunity. I believe it came to me, and it probably came to me because of what I had put into my life 1.0, as you described it, right? So yes, family has always been number one for me, despite all the kind words you say about me being a successful professional. Family's always been number one, and my professional life was number two, but somewhere in there, I guess there was no number three, which is self. And what this opportunity was lending me, rather unconventionally, not something I've ever done before, was a chance to look at item number three, which is, have you spent enough time reflecting on yourself? So the opportunity came in. It was, a sponsorship from the company I was at, and that was great. It was their way of giving me a reward for the work I had put in, which is, my priority two. So clearly I was doing well in my priority one and my priority two. So it took an effort to say, okay, family, you're going to have to give me a little bit of a break here and work. Clearly it was also very unconventional to have to be able to shut down all of that and just be somewhere else for 6 weeks. Yeah, that initial transition was very unusual, very uncharacteristic, and difficult. But then it was so valuable at the end of that 6 weeks. I realized there is a third priority, which was a very far, far third priority that needed to be explored and thought through.
Yeah, and that third priority being you, and I can sense almost, and I'm going to use a term here which may be incorrect, but almost maybe the guilt of actually moving, because sometimes there's that there. But I also remember the sort of story of when we travel, we go on planes, and the health and safety people say, "Well, put your oxygen mask on yourself before you help others." So there's a bit of a oxygen mask moment there, I guess.
Yeah, I know you. I so agree with that. And I look back into my life 1.0, and it was more like what the world told me to do. It almost felt like whatever I did was a path of least resistance. That's what I was doing, right?
So for
I
you,
mean,
there
no,
was.
no regrets, no regrets. I do not want to kind of assign this as something that was amiss. It was a very valuable, a foundational part of life that has set me up for everything else in the world, but it was also a very comfortable from an emotional decision-making space. It was a comfortable space to be. It was, you did really good at what you did, and you did that for just two things: your family and your profession, and you did the best over there. It was kind of a script that was already given to me, I felt, but then that sojourn had to happen for me to say, oh gosh, I do need to deviate from script because there's so much more in the
Yeah.
rest of the book that I'm missing.
So there's a natural thing going on here in taking some time. And what did you discover? What was it you discovered then?
Yeah, I make it sound like that was the most difficult part, but yes, it was a very difficult part. But then I think we worked together for about a year,
Yeah.
I'm thinking. It was a very difficult year. It was a difficult year where I had to keep going between telling myself I have to explore the world beyond and getting pulled back into that space of comfort, right? It's that you've been there for, 30 years, whatever, 35 years, and in your mind that you need to look forward, but your heart says, you need to be back there. That's the space of comfort. So it was a lot of building courage to be able to leave what was home, if I can call it that. And then the other difficulty was once you committed and got into this world that was different, the first thing that hits you is, oh my God, this is not my expertise, but I'm going there. This is because this is my passion. So how do I fit? So you have to start by telling yourself, okay, I am going to have to, if I'm going to have to pursue this, I'm going to have to start at the bottom, bottom of knowledge, bottom of network, bottom of everything, right? I have to be able to tell myself, okay, this is all very new. Be okay with starting at the bottom. And then there is that third piece. So what's next? This is kind of a sequential thought process. So if I'm not equipped with the knowledge, what do I do? I got to learn. So what was it? I think it was 50 when I was making this change. So at 50, I had to get back into go back to school, or those days it was during COVID, so it felt like it was more like going back to online learning and gathering knowledge and preparing for the deficiency that I was feeling, beginning to feel that, oh my gosh, I'm in a new space, I need to know more. So those were, and then that journey continues, and I realized that the only way to move forward and not keep getting pulled back is to have the courage to keep telling yourself that you can't give up yet. Be okay to be a nobody in this space, right? You come from a space where you know everything, you're comfortable to, you don't know anything, you're starting over again. And then the third important thing is to keep learning, is to just keep learning. And you figure out how to handle yourself. You figure out how to ask for help. You figure out how to be in a community where you really want to be, but you don't know enough, and say, hey, I would like to be a more active part of this work, but I'm going to need some help from all of you experts in the room. And you figure out that that's so easy to say. And once you've got to that point, you can kind of see the finish line, or see the, it's not a finish line. There's no, never a finish line in your purpose. There's so much to do in this world. So you know you're in the right place and you can keep going.
That's absolutely fabulous that you share your vulnerability there, coming from expert into novice, I guess, and how you embrace that. And I'd like to share and see where this takes the conversation, because you also shared with me the fact that you'd realized you'd done this before. So whilst perhaps as the 16, 17, 18-year-old, you saw me, who was going out on this journey for the first time, this time you were able to bring in some life experiences. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
I don't know. It's I sort of agree with you, Tim, on that question framing, but I also don't agree, or I have a different perspective.
Yeah.
When you're 16 and 17 and you come into it, you are clueless. I mean, you know you're clueless, right? You're like that sponge. But when you try to do this with at 50, you have a baggage. You come from a space that has a different frame. You're not that clueless. So to be put into a brand new space and be also assigned as clueless about that space is a bit of a big mental transition that you have to get to. Having said that, the intentional reflection and intentional transition in the space includes being able to give credit to your experience, which as if you read the book Strength to Strength, it is you recommended that to me. It's your crystalline knowledge. There is a space for your crystalline knowledge in the world, so you have to still remember that that's what forms the basis of whatever you do, in foundation for whatever you do in future. So as you're learning new things, your crystalline knowledge, your experience is what is supporting that onward journey. So I kind of see it in those two parts. The first is to acknowledge that it will not be the same as that transition when you're 16 and 17. It would be heavier, it would be harder, it would be different. But then the second part is to also remember that, hey, but I have these 50 years of experience that could be leveraged. So how is that leverage pattern? So that's the second part of it.
Yeah, so there's almost like a second battle going on between what you take forward and what you leave behind.
Yeah, and I remember we had those discussions. My list of stuff, my suitcase luggage full of stuff that I wanted to take with me was so big. And I remember having this conversation with you, which was like, no, you can't figure out what needs to stay and what needs to move forward. Yes, that was a very difficult part. Yet I was very attached to my life 1.0. Of course, I had built it for all these years with, sweat and tears and hard work. So of course I was very attached to it. And I'm sure everybody goes through that process as I reflect, as I think about it some more. It's hard to let go of a lot of that stuff and say, can I add more? But you really can't. There are only to do something well, you have to be able to find your priorities within there. And in my case, my priorities had just shifted from living that comfortable, being in that comfortable space, to exploring something different and new. So clearly, I had to make space for that, a lot of space for that, because there was all of this learning that was required as well, right? So I had to release a lot of stuff to be able to accommodate the new world, where a ton of work had to go in for me to build my confidence again, to build the necessary credibility and the knowledge and the network to be able to move forward. So yes, that I remember those conversations.
And yet here we are talking about life 2.0, so there's another pivot.
Yes, and I want to talk about that. That's so exciting. So given that My first transition was as hard as it was. I kind of projected that to the community I was in, and I realized that it wasn't just me making that, having that difficult transition, right? There were more people in that space that are having that difficult transition. So I actually embarked into getting professional training as a coach. That was one of the things that I incorporate in my Life 2.0, knowing that you can call it a little bit like a pay forward. I got coaching from you, professional support from you, to make this change. And I wanted to be able to support others that were making the same journey. And so now I am also a coach, a transition coach, that as part of a startup that my husband and I are co-founders of, called 25 Years More. I have, within my offerings or service to the community, offered myself as a coach for on transition, on life transitions. And yeah, there's so much, there's a lot more. My suitcase has started getting filled up, Tim. But I can, maybe the one that comes on the top of my mind, which is a connectivity, which is connected from to my Life 1.0 experience on the first pivot, is that I'm now a coach as well.
So tell me a little bit more about that, because again, you've been quite modest, because between yourself and your husband, you've got this retreat in India, isn't it? I think.
And that's why we say we never retire, right? We
Yeah.
rewire. So yes, I emptied the suitcase, but I filled it back up. And yes, it took only a couple of years to do that. But I'm super happy and excited at where I am. And I feel like the nature of the work I'm doing together with my husband as well as my community is more meaningful, as I had designed or envisioned it, right? So what's happening in Life 2.0 for me? So one is my husband and I have a company called 25 Years More, which is essentially to cater for these additional 25 years we all have in life, right? And these 25 years are actually productive years. And we want to make sure we make that transition into those 20, 25 years, like in a way that is graceful and meaningful and what's the word? Enriching. And so, as part of that, as part of 25 Years More, we help the community, which is 50 pluses, 50 to 75 year olds that have a mission to rewire, and live another exciting 25 years. So that's the mission and the inspiration for the company. As part of the work we do within 25 Years More, we have four pillars: earn, learn, give, and grow. And there's a lot of services around those four pillars, which serves the market, serves the this generation of young of adults, if you will, or smart agers. The other little project we've done, and again, this is bringing to life the love that you've had all along, but never had the time to spend on that, right? Remember we said work and family, those were the two things, and there wasn't space for anything else. But now that there is time and space for it, my husband and I spend time in the mountains, and we used to do like one trek a year, but now we have the ability to go and be in the mountains a lot more. And as part of that, we've also built a tiny little chalet in the mountains and in the Himalayas, where we want to invite all our friends and like-minded people that are wanting to do are in this journey to come and experience the mountains with us. It's not like any of us has ever done anything like this before, like been a builder or a designer or run a homestay, but what's the worst
Oh, I love
that
that.
happen? All you want to do is have your friends and have a good time in a place that is wonderful and you love. And how can that all go not be okay? So that's the process there. So yeah, we are running a little resort It's an experiential resort, really, really small in the mountains, very private. And, we do leadership classes. It's my experience studio, if you will. And then, of course, 25 years more, which helps bring the community. And hopefully, we will be impacting some folks in as part of the journey. I do spend quite a bit of my time doing social work. Again, something that I really wanted to do a lot in the beginning, did a little, only found like a few hours every week to do that. But now I can spend, bulk of time working on my social impact projects, which there's so much need for all of that. And I still have the anxiety that I'm not going as fast enough as I would have liked to. That is all my carryover from when I found out of it. Yeah, so much to be done in this world. So I'm excited to have my 25 years to spend on making a difference in the world.
And that comes across so much in your voices and the animation of your explanations. It's wonderful, wonderful to hear. So, as we come up to sort of the end of our time together, could you just share with me and the audience these decisions you've made, this journey you've been on it? What's it delivering for you now?
Oh gosh, what is it delivering for me? The first thing it's delivering for me is, I'm on my purpose journey. So I'm finally able to embark on my purpose journey, right? So I'm so fortunate to have the means, the experience, the training, amazing coaches, amazing, partner and family, to even be at this space to be able to pursue my purpose journey. It could have been that any one of these things wasn't there, and then there would be no purpose journey. I could be scrambling to, to on some financial constraints, or I could be struggling because I'm such a failure in terms of understanding this new world of whatever, AI, or just by way of example. But it's none of those. I have the resources, the experience, and the support to be able to be in my purpose journey. So I cannot tell you how much gratitude I feel at this moment as you ask that question on what is it doing for you. The second big thing it's going to do is doing for me is the hope. It's like I'm actioning, even though I feel like it's going slow, at least I'm on it and I am turning this wheel. It's not stationary like it was before. This whole my purpose of impact, bringing impact to the community, to the world, I feel like I'm, going towards that. So I think it's those two mostly. Gratitude that I have the ability to be in this space and pursue my purpose journey. And then the second is actually being able to see that I'm moving forward, that I'm not stationary. I'm able to move forward despite the fact that it's all new and lots of stuff I have to discover and figure out, right? Actually, I will add one more thing. It has also taught me courage. There's this famous saying, right? Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. It was just a saying that I had on my Ginni Rometty from IBM president had said that. It was just a banner on my in my office once upon a time, but now I am. It's something that's in flight for me. I'm just uncomfortable being in places that I've never been before, but I'm just getting comfortable. But getting, I'm just getting comfortable at being uncomfortable constantly.
Brilliant. And the word that sprang to mind to me when you were sharing that was momentum. There's sort of momentum and energy. Not that I've never thought you lacked energy when I've met you, but momentum, does that help steer that energy? I'm not sure, but what a fabulous, fabulous journey and Fabulous share. So thank you,
Yeah.
Nasumi, and
No, thank you for helping me articulate all of that, Tim. I mean, I spent some time reflecting on what those pivots had been. This was the opportunity to do that, and I'm excited that it has brought me where it has brought me. Thank you.
yeah. And here's to the next 25 years.
Yes, to the next 25 years.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks so much. So, listening back and reflecting on the conversation I'd just had there with Masumi, what are the things that I'm taking from this? Well, firstly, she was talking about both the professional and personal persona. She shared that she's actually gone through two big pivots, and refer to those as life one, life two. There's probably a life pre dot 1.0. She shared with us the challenges that were allowing herself time and space to be herself. And that hadn't come naturally. She'd spent a lot of her professional life trying to create space to be both successful at work, but also raise a family and enjoy her marriage. So we get the feeling of Masumi being the mother, daughter, the wife, the business executive. And how she'd actually battle the emotions, or perhaps guilt, these were conflicts. And having to battle those conflicts to enable her to embrace the stretch that she was craving for. She described the difficult year. She also described the changes required. She talked about feeling almost like a novice going back to school. So there are some skills. These are the examples of horizontal development. But also these battles, these emotional battles that she described. The work perhaps that Masumi and I did during our year together was looking more at the vertical development. There were some great examples for those of you that have studied character strengths. The strengths that I saw, the character strengths that I saw that she referred to. You could talk about courage. There's the love of learning. Gratitude, she mentioned, perseverance, curiosity, and humility. The humility and the ability to be able to recognize that some of the skills that she required, some of the knowledge that she required, wasn't there. So she was able to use that humility and her ability to communicate and share and ask for help, ask for support, and use some of the skilled and successful people around her to support her journey. She talks about motions and momentum. And I think this is incredibly important. What I was taking from that, there's some work from Petaskey and de Clement, which we use within coaching and also within therapy to support change. And step five of that is maintenance, consistency. And Masumi spoke about the challenge when she was able to come back into from her 6 week work at Stanford, and then come back into the family life and the work life, and having to keep dipping back into the changes that she was trying to do, keep the momentum going. And then there is this fabulous piece that we certainly I can recall working on, but Miss Ami shared with us about having to sort of unpack her suitcase, get rid of a few things. So there's this conversation battle going on? What do I take with me? What do I leave behind? And this is really coming from the work from Trevor Waldock and Thresholds, as he describes in his fabulous book. And then I guess the final point that I'd like to share was this transition one that had moved and changed how Sami was showing up in the world, how she was now embracing space and time for herself as she moved into this third period of life. And she'd actually taken the meta experience of this change and had done a further pivot into life two, where she's now able to use those experiences and share those with others and support others within this change. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to do, and probably something that's encouraging me to share these podcasts and experiences that I've had with these people. And I think this is what Arthur C. Brooks referred to in his book, From Strength to Strength. Usami referenced that within a conversation. And she also shared his experience of going from into crystallized intelligence. And this comes from the work going from fluid intelligence into crystallized intelligence as we reach the third age. So there's some fabulous, fabulous things there that I've picked up that link back into the work that I've been doing on flourishing. And I'd encourage the listeners to perhaps go back in, listen to the podcast again. And what were you taking out from this? What did you recognize as challenges for yourself if you're going through a similar journey of change? What might you need to be able to focus on? And how can you pull from some of your existing strengths and realign those into what the future requirements would be for successful change? And then importantly, having made those changes or in the process of making those changes, how do you sustain those? So thank you for listening. Fabulous conversation with Musami, and I look forward to you joining me at my next podcast in a few weeks' time. Thanks for listening.